This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Save on your next oil change at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Choose Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil to provide maximum performance and protection for your engine. Get a $15 gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge for $34.95. Plus, 2 times O Rewards points. Offer valid in-store and online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When Ryan's is when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind Around with John Pollock and Waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind Around for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind Around for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Way. Take the mic.
Well, Way, we have a Smashville edition of Raw to go through. Two and a half hours worth.
Oh, I've been informed actually from somebody in Smashville that it is the nickname for the Predators. So it's a hockey thing.
How's it the Smashville? That sounds like a place.
I mean, I guess it's
have they just dubbed their home Smashville?
Yes, that's what I'm assuming.
Okay. So is this exclusive to the Predators? Do any other sports teams get to claim ownership or residence at Smashville?
It's exclusive to the Predators and the WWE right now.
Yes, I understand. Well, everybody, here at postwrestling.com, we are still reeling from the loss of the Post Wrestling Forum, but we have our makeshift Patreon set up because we have an Ask Away show coming up this Thursday. Way, how can people help us out to get a show out on Thursday on the cafe?
Yeah,
we need questions.
Yeah. So the Post Wrestling Forum is down. We had just had a string of unfortunate events that has caused the forum to unfortunately be wiped clean.
We held a service on Saturday afternoon. It was a beautiful ceremony.
Yeah,
it was. It's nice to see you.
We're going to work towards bringing it back sometime this week. I'm sure we'll relaunch it. But in the meantime, it means we've lost all of our questions for this month's Ask Away. But that's a good thing, okay? Because that means we're going to get fresh, up-to-date questions from all of you guys in the Post Wrestling Cafe. Those of you who sign up, get access to Ask Away pretty much once a month. And this month, we are inviting you guys to leave your questions in the email that I just sent to all of you guys earlier today. So there's an Ask Away questions thing. We've already got like 15 of them. So I think by Thursday we'll be in pretty good shape. But get your questions in right now. PostWrestlingCafe.com.
And while we are at it, we want to make mention that an early edition of MCU Later already out covering your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man starring Big E.
He is in this, yeah. I've only seen like partially the first episode, so I haven't really seen Big E pop up yet. But you know, beyond that, Rich and WH will be talking about their thoughts on the Captain America 4 and also Fantastic Four trailers, and they'll be back, I'm sure, in shortly to review those.
Also on the Post Wrestling Cafe this week, for all members, you will be getting a New Beginning in Osaka review on Tuesday night with Karen Peterson and Bruce Lord. The Ask Away Mailbag Show will be coming out Thursday. And then Saturday night on the cafe, Waiting and Kate from Montreal are going to be staying up late to check out AEW Grand Slam Australia. So I covered the UFC show from Sydney. Kate and Way are going to tackle the show from Brisbane.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. I think we're going to stay up, you know, for this. So it'll probably start at about what do you think? 10:30 after the NBA All-Star stuff?
I'd say 10:30 to 11, yeah. I would guess. I will say this, like we have certainly gone over a lot of the struggles for this particular show. I thought they did a fantastic job on Saturday's Collision promoting this event. Now that they've got pretty much the full 5-match show to promote, they just hammered it home. This, like, they did the WWE. Like, you could not have left that show not knowing what's on that show, when it's happening. They really, and that Saturday show in Texas, awesome crowd, very, very good show. It just seemed to be a lot of positive response to that Collision show. So such a big show that Wei Ting said, you know what? I'm tackling this one. Sino, take a seat. I've got it handled.
Pushed them aside, yeah. I reviewed the show on Saturday with Kate. I mean, in particular, I really liked some of the segments that they did on there, including the Mariah May, Toni Storm one, which I think they've been doing excellent work throughout the entire thing. We finally got confirmation that Mercedes Moné will be facing Harley Cameron after interrupting Harley Cameron's halftime Harley concert. So maybe the other big halftime concert that we had this weekend.
Yes, almost. Did you play that one?
No, not for my son. No.
Okay. You can find out all of our shows up at postwrestling.com. The schedule is there. We will also have coverage this weekend of NXT Vengeance Day, and the NWA podcast will be dropping Sunday night at some time.
Yeah.
Sunday night. So look out for that. On to Raw we go from Smashville at the Bridgestone Arena. WrestleTix reporting 12,237 tickets distributed. So six episodes of Raw so far in 2025, none of them have dipped below 12,000 tickets distributed.
It's amazing.
Jey Uso kicks off the show, and man, they are just adding and adding to this. Now he's getting like, he's picking out kids from the crowd to do the yeet with him, and the encore is now becoming a staple of the entrance as well. So we are pretty much earmarking the first 10 minutes of every show to Jey Uso. And they did this great angled shot from the crowd where Jey is on the desk yeeting away, and you just hear Pat, look out Jey, and he gets ripped off the desk, and they cut to Gunther, who attacks Jey and hits him with a power bomb, a pair of power bombs actually, and tells Jey, don't do it. And he leaves, and Jey is left in the ring. He says, I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to. It's you and me at WrestleMania. And Gunther is livid at this. He's like, no. He charges at Jey. Jey fights back, hits a big tope onto everybody, and we have our first match official for WrestleMania with Jey Uso challenging Gunther.
Yeah, relatively big piece of news, I think, to start the show off, you know, but I think it was about time. You know, this isn't necessarily the tease that I think they needed to drag out that much longer. But I love the idea of them establishing and then disrupting the pattern of Jey Uso coming out here, doing that big entrance to start off these shows, and then doing the encore and having Gunther just attack him during it. So by the end of the segment, like, I think they kind of hit everything they needed to. They showed you the star power appeal of a Jey Uso, while at the same time, yes, he did get beaten down, but he stood up to the bully by making the challenge, and he even gets the last shot at the end with that big dive. So yeah, now the challenge, I think, is to make this feud feel as hot, if not even, certainly hotter than what they currently have with 2 months to go, which is quite a while.
I'm interested in this a lot. I think that they've done, like, I'm not negative on the idea of like the Saturday night's main event booking. I think it's like added to this. Like, this is the big underdog. He's not supposed to be able to compete with Gunther. And man, this guy is so popular right now. And it's they have 2 months certainly to continue with this, and that's a long time.
It can work against them. They're coming off the Rumble,
like,
with incredible momentum.
Like, even, you know, two great performers in Cody and Kevin Owens, and it's like, man, we were kind of feeling it by the time the Rumble came about. It's like, how many more contracts and contract addendums and face to faces can we get through here? It's a long time, but the inverse of this as well is that now we've got the Elimination Chamber. It's who faces Cody at WrestleMania as well. True. So setting that up. We go backstage to Kathy Kelly with Rhea Ripley and says that everyone is waiting for Charlotte Flair to pick, and she's stalling to stay relevant. And Io Sky walks up saying that you cost me at WrestleMania. I'm coming for you. And my response would have been, how are you coming at me? You're out of the Rumble. You didn't qualify for the chamber match. How are you coming for me?
You got your answer by the end. I'm going to guilt trip you so that you will grant me a title shot.
Well, this was some A1 mind games from one Io Sky. And that takes us to Damage Control, including Dakota Kai back in action 3 weeks after that that missile dropkick spot, taking on Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. And they promote that Raquel will take on Roxanne Perez next week in the women's qualifier. So This match, we saw Kai miss a running boot. This is after Sky is selling for a long period in the beginning. And then when Kai is in, they get the advantage on her. Eventually, Sky comes back and hits a suicide dive onto both women. Sky was just on another level here. The crowd gets wound up for her. The bullet train attack hits. And then Raquel and Liv hit like this super code breaker onto Sky, and then there's a power bomb onto Io, but Io gets her knees up. So Kai comes in with the chiropractor, and Raquel makes the save. Raquel then takes Liv and swings her into both women, and we suddenly see Liv just get sliced by her eye. So what I'm thinking happened here is she got drilled right into Dakota Kai's knee brace. And later in the backstage segment, we got to see the close-up. This was a gnarly cut that she got on her eye as well. So quite a lot of blood in this one. And they hit the Oblivion onto Kai, and then Sky makes this great save. And this crowd is going wild for these near falls. Morgan and Sky are left alone, and it ends with a head kick to Morgan, who's still all bloody and takes over the moonsault, and Io pins her in 14:57. I thought this was a great match. 15 minutes of time, some really, really great near falls. You had the unfortunate cut that Liv sustained, but I mean, it was nonetheless. I thought they just got a ton of heat in this match, and I was really impressed with it.
No, I thought this match was awesome. I was very impressed with Liv here. Not just because of the, you know, being able to withstand the injury, but I actually almost in some ways wondered if the injury made her even that much more focused in like making sure the rest of this match was just like, she just looked more aggressive. You know, she looked like completely focused, you know, out there. I thought her closing stretch with Io was really outstanding. And I do kind of, part of me wonders if they should really cool it with some of the battering ram stuff. Like, so much of the team's offense is Raquel throwing Liv, and I know there's magician's sort of craft to all of this, but part of me just kind of worries that, like, doing too much of this, you're just kind of risking something unnecessarily. Kai looked, I thought, really fantastic as well. So it was good to see that, you know, despite that concussion, she hasn't lost that ferocity in the ring. So again, you know, with all of these wrestlers, you want them to make sure that, like, they're doing everything relatively safe, but while at the same time trying to make things look as good as possible. Hopefully they can find a happy medium there.
Yeah, if it was in fact the knee brace, like, those are like, those knee braces are just a bitch for some of the, like, we've seen in the past where it's just they're really clunky to work with, that we have seen before. So I'm assuming that was probably the source of the wound. But they announced Sami Zayn is not here as they recap the attack by Kevin Owens last week. Jackie interviewed the New Day during the break, and they just take the microphone from her. They're goading the fans, and Kofi stating they didn't even get a qualifying match. Kofi brought the aura back to the Elimination Chamber, and they're cut off by Bayley's entrance. And then, If I was doubtful about tuning into this LFG show, I think this clip was just tailor-made for me. They show some highlights from this season, including a visit from Gunther. And Gunther isolates this blonde woman about why she is here. And she states, you know, I want to be the best. I love this. Gunther says, nobody cares that you want to try to be the best. No one cares that you give it your all. No one wants to see Barbie. I will absolutely watch this episode whenever Gunther is on it. They had some really good clips on this show. They had this, and then they had one with Punk later on as well. So yeah. I think they're doing a good job of promoting this, at least for the first week. I can see a lot of curiosity tune in.
Yeah, Taker, Bully Ray, Booker, like, I, you know, mildly curious about all of them.
No, Taker, like, and Bubba are just going to be, as advertised on this show.
You give me Gunther coming into this fresh class to cut promos on.
Guy should have been one of the coaches. He should have been on for the whole run.
Maybe a future role for him if LFG continues. But, I mean, I look forward to them taking this clip out. And whenever this blonde woman makes her way towards main eventing WrestleMania in about, I don't know, 5, 6, 10 years, okay, they could replay this clip and just kind of show us how far she's come. Maybe Gunther will be her, manager by then.
Yeah. Maybe they'll ask her, are you familiar with Melina versus Alicia Fox? Lyra Valkyria versus Bayley in an Elimination Chamber qualifying match followed this. We saw Roxanne Perez and George Kittle in the crowd. Valkyria blocks a rose plant early and then hits a sliding drop kick through the ropes. And then Bayley goes for a running sunset flip bomb into the corner. But there wasn't a whole lot of room to maneuver here, so this just looked like a mess. However, the replay they showed was just a from behind Bayley going in. The replay did not look as bad as the live shot of this, where it just looked so clunky. And then they just followed this. Bayley goes off the top for the elbow drop, and Lyra gets her knees up, and then Lyra hits this not great looking tornado DDT and into a Bayley to belly. This was just like 30 seconds where it just felt like everything was off here. Bayley then spins her off her shoulders. Both go down equally hard. I don't know what Bayley was trying here. And Pat just remarked, that looked painful for both women. And there was no reaction to this either. I don't think they knew how to react. Things picked up. Lyra hit a tornado DDT on the floor and a fisherman buster, another in the ring. The Nightwing gets blocked and we get a series of counters. Bayley then sends Lyra's neck into the bottom rope, and Lyra tries for the Mahistral cradle, but it's countered with Bayley hooking her leg and catching her in 12 minutes and 16 seconds. And Bayley gave her a hug afterwards as Bayley qualifies for the Elimination Chamber match. But I did not think this one was smooth sailing.
I actually really liked the match. I mean, I thought it was more of a technical battle, you know, which I don't know if it gets appreciated as much in the WWE, especially like in the women's mid-card, because I don't think they've really ever made a name for this type of wrestling to be appreciated. I thought the crowd response was okay to start, but I certainly didn't sense them being into the beats of the back and forth as I think the match was designed for. But like, to me, like I really enjoyed the action overall and gave you a good sense of this, like, you know, being a strong technical battle with like smart counters and body positioning. And you know, I thought it showcased how good both of them were.
Did you like that Lyra got to spread her wings with a 12-minute match on TV?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, thank you for that. Yes, of course. Anytime you can work a pun in, I'll enjoy it. You know, there might be some criticism of the IC champion losing here. I didn't like that. You know, I'd certainly, if you're going to do this, I at least want to see Bayley want to challenge for the IC title, which coming off of this show, I don't think you're going to get at all, because the direction is now Ivy Nile versus Lyra. But I also ultimately don't mind Lyra looking at Bayley as this sort of like bigger obstacle for her to overcome in her career, because like, you know, we have to recognize that Bayley is somebody that Lyra like took fan photos with. You know, there's evidence of that out there. So I still very much think there's a long-term story to be told between the two. And if this serves as a first chapter, then that's cool. But I do kind of want to see Bayley at least like mention, hey, like I beat the IC champ, maybe I should get a title shot.
Yeah, I'll reserve judgment, because if that is not followed up on, I would completely agree. Your champion should never be losing for no reason. You also have the deal where Bayley is going for the NXT women's title this Saturday as well on the Vengeance Day show. So, I mean, you kind of have that, but Lyra, like this, Bayley should be aiming for the IC title, because if not, if this is like, that's just a stepping stone, I really want the larger title, you're just kind of confirming everyone's already preconceived notion that these are secondary belts and they're not the goal of these performers.
Right now, get up to a $15 gift card after rebate when you purchase select SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Plus, two editions of Rewind Away. We will revisit Bret Hart's heel run in the WWF NXT TakeOver New Orleans from 2018. Plus, we have coverage of AEW Grand Slam Australia, New Beginning in Osaka, an Ask Away, Ask Us Anything mailbag show, and of course, Captain America 4 and Collision Course every single Saturday night. All that and more at postwrestlingcafe.com. Then Penta was in the depths of hell here, surrounded by flames, taking up his issues with Ludwig Kaiser and Pete Dunne, and he is coming for you. And this video was noteworthy because he went back and forth between like English and Spanish, but they didn't like subtitle him. I think they just realized this guy sounds cool, and you can let your imagination run about what he is saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, they let him speak in Spanish, like, on that first appearance, you know, live in arena. And
it's tough to subtitle someone live. So.
But they're not afraid to, I guess, just, like, let Spanish, you know, proceed. There are enough Spanish speakers watching Raw that I feel like it's, if you understand, like, there are probably a lot of people that do understand. And if you don't understand, well, the English probably makes up for it, gives you a good sense anyway.
Well, we got the response from Kaiser as Pete Dunne comes in saying, I wasn't helping you last week. Kaiser says, well, I didn't need help. Dunne says he's going to break Penta next week. And Kaiser says he's all yours as AJ Styles walks by and gives Kaiser a look. So, yeah, Kaiser and Pete Dunne, the odd couple.
Yeah, it's something for them to do, I guess.
Did your live viewing include the McAfee Minute?
No. I tuned in delayed, so I skipped or missed all this stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing McAfee does all the time. He announced it's Michael Cole's birthday, so everyone could sing happy birthday. And of course, it's not his birthday. So Alpha Academy is with Lyra Valkyria. She is reeling from this loss. American maids start laughing at her for falling on her face. And now you're listening to these clowns. And Lyra says, well, Ivy, I won't test you in the gym, but you don't test me in the ring. And Niall just laughs at her and says, it's going to be easier to take this title from you than I thought. And they left.
Yeah, they're letting Niall and the Creed speak more. You know, they did this entire segment without Chad Gable. So the training wheels are kind of off of them. And considering maybe how little I've seen Niall speak, I feel like she did decently well here, you know, like showing some sense of heel character. So both of them, you know, are in a position, both Lyra and Niall are in a position where they're having to show a bit more character and show a bit more comfort on the microphone.
AJ comes out and he says it's deja vu stepping into this building as he did 4 months ago. And now then he got injured. And this was supposed to be a career ending injury for me, but I've got my ice baths and I'm back. He says that he thought about this and he still had something to prove. And thus I'm back. And who cuts him off but Dominic and Carlito. And Dominic is hit with booze. They run Raw. And AJ points out that you've lost Damian Priest. You've lost Rhea Ripley. I don't see Finn Balor around you guys. Dominic, you're always going to be Rey Mysterio's punk ass kid. And with that, he nails Carlito with a Pele kick. Dominic attacks AJ, and the 619 gets stopped as Dominic leaves the ring, watching Carlito take a phenomenal forearm. So AJ is back, programmed with Dominic.
For a first program, I think it's great for AJ, actually. You know, like anybody facing Dom is already going to get a massive reaction. And I feel like AJ on this episode, like, was presented like a big deal, and it feels like it's been a while since we've had that sort of presentation of AJ as this top level type of baby face. So
teasing a bigger program too that we will get to as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jackie interviews Seth Rollins, who will be facing Finn Balor next week in the qualifier, and all eyes are on the chamber. He's going to win it when Balor appears and states that all people see is Seth's downfall. You lost to CM Punk. You lost your mind at the Royal Rumble. You are falling apart. And Rollins does not believe that he is falling apart. So they will have their match next week. And they go back a long time, but not to Ring of Honor together. But they go back a long time.
SummerSlam.
Yeah. Kelly is with A-Town Down Under. They promote Vengeance Day. Theory said, you know, it's weird backstage here. I saw a homeless guy back here last week, so I gave him a dollar. And Waller said, no, that was Sami Zayn. And then they made fun of Alpha Academy and Sheamus. We saw the behind the scenes of Pat McAfee's Super Bowl commercial. And now Styles is with Adam Pearce. And he says, I need this. Pearce is like, are you sure? you need to walk before you can run. It's like, oh, he wants a qualifying match in the chamber. They're going to make this a three-way next week. All right, if you need this, it's you versus Dominic next week. I'm like, what? This was running after walking? This is what you don't want? You need Dominic? Well, guy should have shot a little higher, I think. Like, put me in with Seth and Balor.
Guess there are only so many spots.
I guess. And then we got Cowboy Braun right behind him, who stares at AJ. See you around. Mm. That was that.
Yeah, so big tease, obviously, for this match. And at this point, we just have to speculate about when it could be. Could it be before or after? Could it be during Mania? Could it be before Mania?
Clash in Paris.
Clash in Paris? When is that?
That's the... When was that? The end of August they announced? I don't know.
Oh, that far?
I'm just throwing out dates.
You know AJ's going to get a match in Paris, definitely. But not... probably not this one. He's Paris's favorite wrestler. Who would have guessed that?
Well, I mean, it's a natural for AJ Styles. War Raiders against the Creeds for the World Tag Team titles. At one point, Julius gets hit with this spinning heel kick, and then we get a cannonball delivered to Brutus, and then it's Ivar with a tiger driver onto Brutus for a two count. Eric gets yanked off the apron, and Brutus hits an angle slam onto Ivar. Ivar comes back with a handspring back elbow to both men, and then Ivy Nile distracts Ivar, allowing Julius to leap to the top for a superplex. Brutus follows with a moonsault when Eric makes the save, and then as the War Raiders go for their finisher, Julius blasts Ivar with the belt shot for the DQ at 12 minutes and 22 seconds. Could there be a dumber finish in a title match for the challengers?
It makes absolutely no sense. Absolutely no sense for the challengers to cause a DQ willingly.
This was just stupidity at another level that I had no possible explanation of.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we might assume that they're operating on the logic of, like, you know, we're going to anger our opponents so much that they're going to just want to grant us a championship match.
You've got the match right now.
Yeah, it made absolutely very little sense. I mean, they will write something to make sense of it, but I simply did not like the finish. But I thought the match itself was getting really good. Like, I will look forward to a rematch because I thought they showed, like, really good hard-hitting athletic quality in this, but I thought the finish was really dumb.
Maybe this month it's the Raw tag title match that gets the pay-per-view slot, like the Machine Guns and DIY got, and they're going to be in that tough spot. So,
how does that explain this, the logic behind this? Maybe
not explaining this.
Maybe the Creeds and Raiders were like, guys, like, a Raw match is good, but let's take this to the pay-per-view. We're going to attack you during the match with belts.
I mean, the War Raiders are just going to be what nice guys. They're going to give them another title shot. I'd be like, that was your shot. Yeah. You blew it. Mm-hmm. We're moving on. I'd be a terrible babyface. Judgment Day are reeling, and Balor comes in and looks at Liv and says, next time, you need to listen to Finn. Talk about a catchphrase that is just, like, flatlining. Dominic says they're going to turn things around, and Finn says, I just hear excuses coming from a fool. And Dominic stands up to Finn and says, maybe you're the fool. And they start arguing. Dominic suggests, you know, we're down a man with JD. Maybe we need a new member in Judgment Day. Finn turns this down. This is like Ole Anderson when Lex Luger was joining the Horsemen. And he's going to win the Elimination Chamber. Okay, he's going to beat Seth. He's then going to win the Elimination Chamber, and then he's going to WrestleMania to become champion. I think those will all not happen.
Well, if one of them doesn't happen, then yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's a bit of a house of cards once he loses next week. And this is where we got Liv standing up with Dom, and we just got to see this cut. And it was like, man, she got whacked with this. Like, this was, I don't know if she needs stitches for this, but this was a pretty gnarly cut that she had.
I would expect, if what I'm looking at looks like it's the...
And this was like 2 hours after the match. Like, this was a...
Well, they might have shot this like ahead of time, but yeah, who knows? But they're teasing a new Judgment Day member. we'll see what the candidates are. For
well, they've
like
they got three candidates today, don't they?
Can you see either Miro or Aleister Black or Ricky Starks as part of the Judgment Day?
Oh yeah, I guess he has to be Aleister now.
Aleister Black in the Judgment Day, maybe. I don't know. Oh man, it could be him. Sure, I do think like Judgment Day certainly needs something right now. Losing the star power of a Damien Priest and also a Rhea Ripley has really kind of impacted the group. Liv and Dom has been fine as an act, but it hasn't been enough. So I'm hoping whoever gets brought in, you know, reinvigorates the group.
All I want is that opening promo. I would like the attention of everybody first, and I have something to confess. When I faced Adam Cole, I knew that this would be my last singles match, and I was on my way out. I knew this at that time.
Now, is this on Raw or is this on Instagram Live?
Oh, it's IG Live, 100%. Okay. This on Raw. He's going to let us all in. Damage Control meet up with Rhea Ripley. Ripley says, I don't owe you anything, but I am going to give you a match for the title on the Raw after Elimination Chamber. Don't know if that is quite the appeal of like the Raw after WrestleMania. That is not. But March 3rd in Buffalo, Eel's like, oh, great. You're sending me to Buffalo in the middle of the winter. Thanks, Rhea. And we will get a title match 3 weeks in advance. They're really hyping this one up. This is a very rare 3 week advance notice of a match on Raw.
Mm-hmm. I think in the past you would have actually seen this title match on the pay-per-view, mm-hmm. but just, you know, given how brief these cards are, they're spreading the wealth and concurrently trying to build towards a non-pay-per-view title match at the same time as they are a pay-per-view. So I, as a way to justify a title match before Mania, I thought this was a fine way of going about it.
Yeah, I guess there's the argument of the confidence of the performer, but I mean, in this scenario, if you were Rhea Ripley, would you not want to have this title match before the Elimination Chamber? I mean, what if you lose?
Well, what difference does it make then?
You don't have a chance. Like the match is set then for the two title matches are set after Elimination Chamber. It's like you could lose this title match and you can't get a rematch for WrestleMania.
Oh, okay. Okay, so challenge the person so that you can enter the chamber if you're Rhea Ripley.
It's your backup option.
But she doesn't have a qualifying match. Those spots aren't free either.
Haven't you ever seen an attack on one of these participants before? You just take their spot. There's well, that.
Save maybe she's just very confident. She's very confident she'll beat Io.
Next week we have four matches announced, which that was the grand total of matches we had on this whole edition of Raw. So this might be the whole lineup for next week for all we know. Wow. Seth Rollins against Finn Balor and Raquel Rodriguez against Roxanne Perez in qualifiers. Penta against Pete Dunne and AJ Styles. He doesn't want this. He needs to face Dominic Mysterio next week in Charlotte. Punk comes out and this is where we got his LFG clip of telling everyone to cut a promo and Bully Ray looking furious. So he did not win the Royal Rumble, but he is not mad at Jey Uso. He likes watching his peers accomplish their goals. And he addresses Cody, says, now I have no other option. I have to stab you in the front. Two people have qualified for the chamber, but one didn't. But I'm not upset anymore at John Cena. He's a legend. He deserves to call his shot, but I'm going to beat the crap out of him. And I'm coming for you, Cody. He also warns Drew what he's going to do to him in the chamber. I have never been more confident in my entire life. WrestleMania belongs to me. And with that, Logan Paul's music plays. And in the best line of the night, Punk says, I didn't even know whose music that was. And Pat McAfee just goes, seems to be a reoccurring thing.
Oh. Is his music what is it, Def Rebel as well?
I'll guess so, sure. Yeah, it clearly was not just me at the Rumble, because that was a big talking point coming out of the Rumble from so many people, so I felt kind of justified with that that critique. But yes, even it's quite the other to hear your own on-screen performers also taking jabs at your lack of entertaining theme music. Logan gets drowned out by boos, and he doesn't understand why people cheer CM Punk. He brings up the remark that Punk made to Kevin Owens the night before the Rumble, and then I eliminated you, and Punk, that was the greatest 15 minutes of fame of your life, and I've got your number. Punk says, you know, I didn't mention you in the chamber because I totally forgot you had this match. But you need to worry about Ray. And if you happen to get by him, I'll put you to sleep in Toronto. So Ray comes out and Logan calls Ray. This is during the break. The second greatest Mysterio behind Dominic says, I was famous before I got here. I was rich before I got here. I do this for the love of the game. And we're ready for our main event between Logan Paul and Rey Mysterio.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Ray's arms look like they might be next on the list for his next trip south of the border for some stem cells. He had guy's upper body looked like a mummy here. He looked like Kazushi Sakuraba.
Yeah, he might not be eating so much.
Oh, my God. He's like, I don't know. I don't think this is just done for the style points. Like, he was just it was both arms, like up and down. He was like just being held together here. So, man is defying time, but is he really? So Logan attacks him with these jabs, and it's Ray was very trustworthy here of this guy who's like a boxer. He's like, yeah, just pump your jab, right, and work it. We'll see how that one goes. Ray challenges to come to the floor and fight. So Ray counters and sends Paul into the steps and then hits the sliding splash. Ray hits a quebrada. Then Paul hits one of his quebradas. Ray comes back. 619 gets stopped with a boot. And then Ray hits a power bomb out of the corner. I skimmed over this, but also setting up the break, Paul hit the Bandito fall away moonsault, and that looked pretty incredible.
Do you know? Did you hear what Michael Cole called it?
No, I didn't. Bandito moonsault?
No.
Anything to do with Bandito?
No. Okay. No. It's even more perplexing. He called it the what did I write down here? The moonsault and battery, shades of Iron Demon. And if that doesn't ring a bell, John, it's Shane Mercer of GCW fame. Okay? Like, what the fuck? Like, I had to look this up. Like, did he actually say this? He says, Paul with the moonsault and battery, shades of the Iron Demon. Like,
wow.
He's like, okay, so like, I'm pretty sure I've seen this like fall away moonsault slam before. And I don't think Shane Mercer is the originator of it. Please correct me. Like, correct me if I'm wrong. Okay? But man, like, Cole pulling this out, I feel like was, you know, just maybe a continuation to try to score points with the internet here.
Well, he certainly did on that account. Well, at the end, the splash by Ray after hitting the 619 lands on the knees. Paul hits the titanium right hand and then rotates Ray into the air into a DDT, the pulverizer, which I think is the name for this move because that's what Pat identified it as about 18 times. And with that, Paul wins, joining Cena, Punk, and Drew in the Elimination Chamber. Ray is distraught in the ring, and we get the old the names on the screen, and then boom, the New Day attack Ray literally with seconds to go in the broadcast. And I guess from those that were in the arena, they followed up with more of an attack and also a save made by Penta. So yeah, this is from Matthew. After the show, the New Day attacked Ray. Penta made the save, but ultimately New Day got the better of them and smashed a steel chair against Ray's leg on the ring post. So I'm sure they will show this after the fact. I'm thinking this could be the Mania tag match, I'm thinking.
Could be. I mean, I wonder if there may be a singles direction, but yeah, I think a New Day, you would think tag match. And Penta and Ray does feel like it'd be a Mania-worthy type of segment, so the leg injury would, I guess, tell you that Ray would probably be off for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that the squall of, like, you should have him out for probably till after Elimination Chamber, and then I don't see you adding anyone more. Like, it's Woods and Kofi, and those would be the two to do it with. I wouldn't see them doing it with Ray and Dragon Lee. You want Penta in something prominent, and pairing him with Ray at Mania, I think, would be a good introductory Mania match for him.
back to the match. You know, this was not a perfect match, like several of the matches on this particular show. But I thought, like, for what they were hitting, like, overall, I come out of the match, like, being very entertained, you know. It was dynamic, and I thought it had a lot of Logan Paul doing what he does best, and that's, like, maybe very rehearsed, but also, like, very relatively well-executed high spots.
I feel a lot about the Logan Paul matches, and I think they're especially come through more on the TV matches, where I think they feel like less rehearsed, but clearly they are. Like, it's a guy that is executing a routine, and it's just kind of that, and he does it very well. Like, he is a great athlete. It's not like you're watching this guy that's like a robot in there or stuff, but like, there is, I feel like if we were seeing Logan Paul on a consistent basis, I think you would see some of those more shortcomings.
The Ronda Rousey effect.
Perhaps, exactly. You know? That was exactly what I was going to say, is like the Ronda Rousey effect, where she, you know, got the benefit of a well-rehearsed match for that first WrestleMania, and she thought that was going to be the pattern for everything, and suddenly she was working on TV every week, and it was like you're putting your stuff together on the fly the day of, right before you go to air. It's, you do not have the luxury of preparing in a warehouse for weeks or months at a time.
But at least at present, I don't think we're going to see Logan as a regular wrestler anytime soon, nor do I think you should. You know, like, he's certainly somebody who might actually benefit from infrequent appearances, you know, like talking, I think, is more of what he needs to do regularly. And the occasional wrestling is
the funny part is, like, there is no one that is like Brandon Thurston puts together every month, like the number of matches people are having per month. And it's like there's no WWE, there is no AEW. Like, there is, like, most of these people, if they're doing four matches a month, that's probably on the high end for especially WWE. Like, at least AEW, you don't have like a brand split between the two shows. So in right. theory, you could wrestle, you know, you could, but like, still, like, no one in AEW is doing like 9 or 10 matches a month, unless you're one of those guys that's hitting the indies as well. But there's very few of those as well. So it's like, among the big two companies in North America, like, you've never had less match output from these performers as mm-hmm. you do now.
Well, who's been more active, like Logan Paul or CM Punk?
It's probably like, just in this last month, Punk a bit more, but they're probably working. Like, Paul definitely had more matches than Punk last year.
Right. And again, like, this, maybe the current iteration of the WWE is perhaps very well suited for people on those types of schedules, because they can continue to speak, they can continue to make money for the company while stretching out, I think, what their physical abilities are able to afford them.
But like, think about this. Punk will do the Elimination Chamber, and then you've got from there about like 7-8 weeks until Mania. Like, what he is going to do, maybe he is doing some house shows in Europe. So throw those out, but at least on TV, like, maybe he does one, at best two TV matches in between Chamber and WrestleMania. And I'd lean probably towards like one, even like, and that's probably what you're looking at.
And I have to think, if they're Punk, or if you're the WWE, and if you're Punk, you're trying to conserve the risk that, that you might, you know, be putting this guy under. Because he's much more valuable just as an active wrestler, rather than somebody like you put out there for potentially a TV match that you don't have as much to gain for as, let's say, a SummerSlam or a WrestleMania. But Punk and Paul clearly is one of the directions that they're building to. When could you see them do that one?
I would do that, Matt. I don't see that as, like, Mania. It certainly feels like this is Reigns, Rollins, Punk in your
something, yeah,
conceivable fashion is those three. Honestly, I think that like, they're hitting that program hard. If I had to guess, it would be that Raw at MSG next month in March.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a big
one. When I would do it. That's roughly 2 weeks after Elimination Chamber. They can do a spot in the chamber together that necessitates the match. Like,
well, you already have the Rumble elimination.
You have the Rumble elimination, and then you could do one of them cost the other in the chamber. Because I don't see either of them winning the chamber. So
yep.
That's when I would do it. The Garden show, I think. Because you do want to build up, I think, for one Raw per month, that you make it feel like you did for a Punk Rollins or for that kind of a match. I think like that would.
Punk versus Paul is about like the perfect Netflix it's match.
Yes. You know? And one that you can promote for several, at least for 2 weeks. So, like I would want to announce that coming out of Chamber that this is happening in 2 weeks and you could really hit that one hard. Mm-hmm. All right, well, there you go. That was Raw, as we have 3 weeks to go until the Elimination Chamber. We are going to say farewell to all of the people on the free feed. Thank you for joining us. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We'll be back Wednesday right after Dynamite. If you want to jump up and go XL, you can do so. $6 per month gets you 30 days access at postwrestlingcafe.com, and that gives you the XL versions of the show, which include the news of the day, which we went over today. We talked about more WWE cuts, all of the talent that is now free and clear of AEW with Malakai Black, Miro, and Ricky Starks. We talked about Way's favorite confirmation hearing that he's going to be focused on this week involving Linda McMahon, and also chatting about new beginning in Osaka and our breakdown of that card, especially Zack Sabre Jr. against Hirooki Goto, which is happening just about a couple of hours from now. So all of that can be heard on the XL version of Rewind to Raw. Goodbye to the freeloaders and to everybody else. Get ready for feedback. This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, O'Reilly. Auto Parts.